Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
Hello and welcome back, strangers. It is the Soccer Central Podcast, the sporadic Soccer Central Podcast. We did tell you last time it likely won't be a weekly thing at the moment because, well, we have conflicting schedules. But regardless, stop your whining. We're back. James Sharman, Brendan Dunlop, and Thomas Dobby.
The outrage was palpable.
Yeah, there was like at least three tweets saying, "Where are you guys?"
Such a pointed intro at poor Kelly Marr. Stop your whining.
Dr. Jay Kahn, dying without us here. He wants some Spurs talk, so good timing for him, I guess.
The people that cannot get on with their weeks if it doesn't start with us babbling for an hour on a Monday.
I like to think that for every tweet you receive, it represents 300,000 listeners.
Yeah.
Right?
So
we get
about
three. We've been pretty good.
Yeah.
Close to a million.
That's good.
Not bad.
Did you come up with that number on your own, or was that based on research?
No, on my own. Right, like right now, in my head.
One per 300,000.
Yeah,
so yeah,
that's
quite the reach. So getting close to a million people listening to this, right, according to my math in my head. Since last we spoke, so much has happened. The Leafs made the playoffs and crashed out of the playoffs. The Jays.
I don't know about crashed out. It's a little harsh.
I know. They still crashed out.
They did,
but crashed out with their heads held high.
Sure. Good run.
It was a really good run.
Yeah.
Great run.
Highly enjoyable.
Took everything out of the Caps, obviously.
And just seeing what's happening now to our teams in other sports, in soccer in particular, it's so rare that you can see essentially a season that ends earlier than you'd want, but you've got smiles on your faces.
Yeah.
I don't know what the equivalent would be in soccer.
Yeah.
There probably isn't, is there?
No. I mean, it's like, is that West Brom this year, finishing eighth, and it's like you don't win anything, and hey, you'd like to make Europe, but... Hey, you finished eighth. You didn't fight the drop at all. You're right there. I mean, that's
maybe. But then part of it with the Leafs was such a young team. The hope for the future.
True.
They're going to win eventually.
Yeah, West Brom's
not going to win again.
League.
You know, they might be a top half team for a few years.
15th next year.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
I was going to say that year that Villa almost got relegated, yet they got to the FA Cup final. Oh wow, my goodness, what a success! And of course, they got smashed 4-0 in the final. But prior to actually playing the final, just the build up to that Saturday afternoon. Similar?
Yeah.
There is no equivalent in soccer because we know that success comes from the mega-rich clubs and by spending money. And in hockey, I mean, although the Leafs have the history and the money with the salary cap, there is a level playing field, and it actually makes you have to be shrewd and smart in your business decisions, where in the European club game, you really don't have to be because you can make a million mistakes and still continue to just spend over them and make money hand over fist. So, and I think that's where... a lot of frustration comes from, smaller clubs and whatnot, because unless you get that deep-pocketed, trillion-dollar ownership group coming in.
Maybe
really
that's a comparison. When Man City were first bought by Abu Dhabi's royal family, that first year, I forget the first year they didn't win.
Rubinho
I don't
didn't
think,
score
but they certainly, they wow, the future's looking really good.
Right.
And this is
finished,
a brand new playing stratosphere.
They finished fifth, I believe.
Was it fifth? Yeah.
Year, right, they stormed up.
Rubinho, man, I forgot about Rubinho.
Yeah, he was the first one. That was the one on transfer deadline
million pounds,
day when
isn't
it was
he,
like, he's going where? To admit, and that really...
Joe, wasn't Joe before him, or was he after him?
I think
Joe
he was after. I think Rubinho was the first one, and it kind of shook the foundation where everyone was like, okay, so Man City are serious here, because at the time, Rubinho was... And 30 million pounds, that was a lot of money even 5 years ago.
And then that first summer they had, that's when it was just...
Yeah.
Anyone who's hot and had a good season...
Dedrick Boyata, come on in, Jordan. 20 million.
Yeah. Well, Gareth Barry, Emmanuel Adebayor, Carlos Tevez, did they come in the same window? They may have, I think.
Might have.
Can't remember. James Milner.
Yeah, Milner wasn't too far off after that. That's the reason that Aston Villa's spiral into all hell began.
It's because of Milner
leaving.
That's the reason. He's the catalyst,
Martin
right?
Martin O'Neill pulling the plug 5 days before the season.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Doesn't always work out for you. Look at, for example, Sunderland.
Yeah.
Segway.
Allardyce leaves
just before the season starts to take the England job. And obviously we're very grateful for that, for the way that turned out. David Moyes comes in.
Great era.
David Moyes comes in and he says in one of his first press conferences, he says, there's going to be a lot of pain. Oh, no, that's Mike Babcock, sorry. He says, but essentially the same thing. He says, listen, this is going to be a tough year, a real tough year. I mean, I usually the new gaffer comes in, right? And he says, he starts selling all the positives about the club and where we can go and how great a club it is. And Moyes was like, oh, man, this is going to be rough, boys. And lo and behold, this past weekend, the first team to be relegated from the Premier League was Sunderland. Absolutely no surprise there whatsoever. The fans have been on Moyes' back for a while now. The Premier League's been on his back as well. He got charged with disrepute for Slapgate last week as well. Bad week for David Moyes.
Yeah, not great. Wendell, sick boy.
Though, do you think, I mean, he is not responsible for this. You look at that team.
No.
Right? And I was going over that this past weekend, the squad. It's shockingly bad.
Oh, it's Man United's C team from how many years ago?
And yeah, when they were the Man United C team, they're actually positive young players with potential. Now they're just washed up has-beens.
Yeah, and what, at the transfer deadline as well, when they tried to wallpaper over and they brought in guys like Brian Oviedo and a couple of other Man United, but who was it? McNair and Love as well. I mean, they're trying to use it. It was just weird signings where if you're really going to go for it and try to stay up, then spend the money. But honestly, I think that the ownership and the club as a whole, and until, I mean, it's been obvious for about 6 weeks, 2 months that they're going down. They didn't have it in them, but I still, until, you know, probably February, March, still expect them to put together the late season run because they've been here five seasons in a row, where in April they were bottom and they made the run and they'd go and win at Chelsea and they'd win four or five matches out of six and save themselves. So I still fully anticipated them to do it until it finally became about 5-6 weeks ago. I was like, this isn't happening. There isn't that. And despite, you know, Defoe scoring his goals and despite there still being, you know, some reason for optimism within that team, they lost so many games at home, lost so many close games, and just didn't have that fighting spirit. They'd go down a goal, and then that was it.
There was no fight for this team at all. Even when there was that element of a potential, okay, they, you know, there's some easy games coming up here.
Yeah.
They're not too far away from safety. They got a chance now, a good month, you know, get some points against some poor teams. It never happened.
You at least see some. And I'd say, you know, with Middlesbrough right now, you're at least seeing some. I mean, they got pounded last week at Bournemouth 4-0. They looked horrendous. It was their worst game of the year.
Yeah.
Defensively, they fell apart. And they bounced back from that now. And they beat Sunderland midweek with a clean sheet. They held City to a draw this weekend and probably should have won. Right? So at least they're not going to stay up with their run-in. But at least you're seeing the fight. And Hull and Swansea, I mean, you're seeing tons of fight. And that now is a proper relegation battle where there's two teams that are going to go tooth and nail right to the end and both picking up results, getting a point this weekend in matches they weren't supposed to away from home. And that's what you want to see. And that's when you think, you know, you feel hard done by if you're relegated and you feel bad for which of those teams goes down because they've both fought all season, basically, change of managers, and they've both battled their way. And when you go down after that, it's disappointing. But Sunderland, I mean, they've been relegated for 2 months now.
Out of all those teams you mentioned, including Borough, right, they all changed their managers.
Yeah.
And they've all, one way or the other, have experienced that bump. Black Cats didn't do that, which suggests to me that they are going to stick with David Moyes.
You would think.
And you know, let him dig them out of this hole. You know, he's been painted with this brush because of what's happened since leaving Everton, right? And I genuinely feel sorry for the guy because he is a good football manager. You read, former players, former staff of his, they say no one works harder. This guy loves the game. Yeah. He loves his club. He's great to work for, right? Now, it's a ruthless business. I understand that, but he might be the right guy to you know, get rid of those contracts. Jermaine Defoe, thank you. Your 14 or 15 goals were enormous without them. I don't know where you would
back
have been.
Back to MLS?
Yeah. Enjoy China.
He'll get a job somewhere in the Premier League, though, for sure, even though he's 34, 35 years of age, right? But he'll clear these contracts out, and he'll build. Now, with all those parachute payments, a lot of ownership will then start splashing some cash in the Championship and try and get back up straight away. Mm-hmm. A team like this, I think the best thing to do is just, okay, take a breath, invest in the club, in the academy, you know, try and grow this foundation. Now, I understand the allure of the Premier League, and we see so many clubs who don't come back in. If there is an opportunity, sure, maybe spend some cash. But this is a pretty big club with a big fan base and a decent stadium, right? They should be perennial Premier League teams. And they have been 10 years, right? It's been a decade since Roy Keane brought them up.
Yeah.
It's seen less than that, 10 years?
10 years. But this is also their fourth relegation in the Premier League era, more than anybody?
Equaled.
They were a yo-yo club in the at the end of the 90s and early 2000s. But, you know, I've actually heard a couple of Sunderland fans, I think, maybe on the Guardian podcast, one just saying.
I was going to say, where do you hear Sunderland?
Yeah,
fans?
Maybe one was on the Guardian podcast, Dicchio? But just they almost were. We want to get relegated. The 4 or 5 straight seasons of this, always in the bottom three, digging out of it, just surviving. I mean, that's not fun for a fan to go through.
Nope.
So they'd rather go down to the championship and hopefully have a good season. Yeah, if you bounce back up, great. But you start to build again. And I mean, personally, like with Sheffield United, it's been 6 years in League One and finally they're coming out of it. But I'd rather they come out now. Looking back on it, it's almost worth the misery in the 6 years together, because now you're coming out as a strengthened club and they're ready for it, right? And I feel like next year they can go compete in the championship right away because they have a good base, they have a good solid foundation of players, they've got a good system, there's belief, the feel-good factor's back. And it's almost if you bounce back too early, you just become that yo-yo. And if they'd gone back up the first season, who knows? And I think that might hold true for Sunderland next year. I don't know if it's in their best interest to go and wallpaper over some of the holes and try to immediately come back up, and then you're doing the same song and dance again. Strengthen, build from the bottom, like you said, build from the academy, get some good young players in there, and become that proud club again that can, you know, compete for the top half in the Premier League and be, which is where they should be. I mean, they're a big enough club where they should be having realistic goals of where a Southampton might be or a Newcastle, same kind of thing, where you're looking at Europe potentially when you're having a good season.
Well, far away from Europe now, but you said the same thing to me last year with Villa, that, you know, maybe hitting the reset button would be the best thing, and it's, you know, taken Villa an extra year, but after they got rid of Roberto Di Matteo,
they had a great second half to the year.
They did, and they went about doing things the right way.
Bruce will get that team back up,
and he will.
Oh, they're favorites next year to come up.
They really did everything right come January by assembling a great championship team. They got the best championship players from the last couple of years and completely revamped the squad. You know, throw some steel in there with Mila Jedinak and a couple others, and I think that they're in a great spot to come up. But the Premier League is better.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I want to hear from people on Twitter, and then when we get together again in 6 months' time, we'll talk about those tweets.
But do we want to hear from people?
But is it better, though? I mean, I understand what you're saying. Is it better to compete and have a good year in the championship where you have things to celebrate week in and week out and you're enjoying wins and it's still a good league, you're still having full stadiums and some good teams? Or is it better to struggle in the Premier League when you're playing Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, these, you know, iconic venues, these iconic teams? I mean, there's a lot to that, but if you're Sunderland every single year, like you're saying, every year,
no,
you're just
misery
scrapping for your
seasons,
life. And you are miserable. Most weeks, you're miserable, no matter who you're playing.
Oh, the product
you're losing.
There
like,
has been
again?
Terrible for five seasons, right?
Yeah. So maybe you're right. Maybe
you're staying up, you get, what, a month of joy? Yeah, we stayed up, and then you're going through 9 months of crap again to get to that point. I mean, I don't think it's been fun for them. So I am interested to know, because it goes against everything. You never want your team to get relegated, but sometimes there has to be that acceptance that maybe in the long run this might be better for the club and wake some people up and open some eyes, rather than just trying to just do the bare minimum to survive again the next season.
Well, let me just make the other hockey comparison just for Justin Bird here again, but the Leafs are so many years, right, that they just missed out in the playoffs, right, and they didn't get a good draft pick. They just every year and there's no progress being made, these bad decisions, and then they tank. And that was the moment. Oh, finally, now we have the greatest player to ever put on a pair of skates. You know, Justin Bird actually asked, would Austin Matthews be a good soccer player? He'd be like an Ibra type, I think. Don't you think? Big physical. I mean, he's a big physical hockey player, but he's a
poacher,
big body up
box,
front. You know, great skill, soft hands, tough
Ibra's
body
a good
to move.
Comparison,
yeah.
I didn't like the Weekend at Bernie's look at the Jays game on the weekend, though.
Whoa. Great shout.
What was going on there?
Great shout out. Was it Webster that did that?
It was Webster that did
Yeah, Andrew Webster.
Part three.
Member of our Sportsnet team here. It was a great picture.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He hung over or something? Sunglasses, Nadvil, Dunlop style or what?
Is he going to the World Championships? He's not, is he? I don't think.
No.
Let's hope not. Nylander might
Marner's
be.
Gone.
Yeah. I know. I wish Marner took the summer off, actually.
Riley is not.
He's beaten up.
Yeah.
He really is.
No,
I love this.
Right.
Slipping into that hockey discussion once
we'll
again.
We'll talk Jays, I'm sure, later on, too. Oh, doctor.
Maybe later on.
Oh, maybe in the offseason, since there's no international tournaments, and yes, I'm speaking to you, Confederations Cup, maybe we turn this into an all-sports
Gold
podcast.
Gold Cup.
Yeah,
all sports
I actually tweeted that. I mean, the Jays have to have this season on a non-World Cup or Euro year. I mean, the timing is terrible. At least if there's a World Cup or Euro, I could
be distracted,
sink my teeth into that and be distracted for a month. But this summer is just good. If the Jays are miserable, I am going to be like, I need a hobby. So I've been taking suggestions on Twitter of what I can do this summer.
What can you do?
I don't know. I need a hobby.
You got lots of free time?
Well, I'm not going to be watching the Jays much if they're absolutely abject.
You could be like collecting stamps.
Yeah.
Could you, actually, we'll I got a better one.
Maybe.
Hold on, let's
think. Good idea.
Wow, yeah. Learn Spanish?
Yeah, I want to learn Spanish.
Why not?
You should always be learning
get
Portuguese,
Rosetta Stone.
Maybe I'll make some pies. I don't know.
Hey.
We'll see.
You know, my wife a Spanish Rosetta Stone about 3 years ago, and it's still in its box. Ooh. So maybe I'll sell it to you.
Sure.
Yeah, but you got the wrong one. I mean,
I can't
come on.
It,
it's you have 5.2 billion reasons to learn Russian if you're going to learn a second language.
Maybe use Chinese. Learn Chinese might be smarter as well, right?
Mandarin,
Russian or Chinese would be smart.
Be good.
Yeah, North Korean could be handy.
Oh my God!
You got to pick up Portuguese before you pick up Spanish. I mean, what's the deal?
Oh, I think he's picked up both before.
Back in the day.
All right.
No, good. But learning a second language would be
That would be a good way to use your
great
time.
Way to spend your free time.
Absolutely.
I was thinking more like gardening. You know, you can have a whole
series.
I have
a condo.
I'm
in a garden.
Not the same.
Where am I going to garden on my balcony? No.
We'll get you one. We'll get we'll get you a
plot. You can get some planters.
Yeah.
Some planters boxes.
If the Jays are
Dobby in the dirt.
Summer,
what a video series.
Help us out. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Again,
there's
that happened
there's
before
a segment
too,
in this summer, isn't it?
All right. People don't care about my off season, my Jays season plans if they're crap. I'll still watch every game, but I can just, you know, watch
we've
it
lost,
more on mute.
We
and,
have lost every Arsenal fan. We're 21 minutes into this
it's
podcast.
Okay. They're used to losing.
Oh, we're getting to this. So. Yeah, we're getting to the other end.
You're
I mean,
on
listen,
fire today, buddy.
All right.
I think we touched upon the other end. I mean, Hull have been amazing. Palace under Allardyce. Once again, after the first 8 games, they struggled. And, you know, despite dropping points this weekend, they're 38 points. They're fine. Burnley look to be fine now, 39. We should delve into the Joey Barton a little bit, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I guess so, eh? Bit surprising.
18 months.
Wow.
For gambling on games, and he says he's got an addiction. I'm not going to debate that. Mm-hmm. We know that's a real thing. But we broke it down. I think it's like 1,200 bets over the course of 10 years, whatever, right? If you break it down, it isn't actually that many bets.
Well, I think it was the money.
Well, how many
right?
bets do you make a year? A lot.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot.
Depends
over
on
10
the,
years?
Yeah. I mean,
not the same amount of money, obviously.
It depends on the time of year, but oh, God, during March Madness and during NFL playoffs and stuff, yeah, I mean, multiple a day anyway.
He wasn't betting that much money, though. That
no,
was, that's,
it wasn't that much for 200 quid here and there, right?
Yeah, that it was small.
Not to condone, not to say that it's not a problem for him. Clearly it is.
Yeah.
But the punishment is a punishment.
Yeah.
You can't bet on games. No. You know the rules. Now, is there hypocrisy in the game? Of course there is. You know, all these, they make so much money from betting companies. You see, you know, betting brands on football shirts and stadium names. It's massive hypocrisy there, but that's not the point. The point is, you bet on games, you're not supposed to, including games you played in.
Yes.
Unforgivable.
Yeah.
Even though they say he wasn't trying to fix matches, and I believe that. But you can't do it. And then to use your own name and your own address. What are you thinking, Joey? You idiot.
That's the thing, right? Is that I bet you he isn't the only one that's done that. But I bet you he's the...
They'll do it.
He's the one... Well, I mean, with his own name.
With a third party. But, oh, yeah, right.
But they've slipped up and bet with their own name. But I bet you that he's the only one that did it consistently. He's
maybe
the only one
bet.
That just...
I bet,
yeah. Take that bet. Yeah, I'll take that bet.
Put it under your name, Brendan Dunlop.
But there'd be... a few other players that, you know, have just got caught up in it and put their own name down. But if he's doing it consistently over as many years as he's been gambling for,
it's incredibly
stupid. It's a shame that, you know, that'll be the end of his career, because for as, you know, as spotty of a career as he's had, he's always been an interesting talking point. And
sure.
To be honest,
and
he's always been great to have
him
around.
He's always been a useful player, because he wouldn't keep finding work if he wasn't. But
no, not as useful as he thinks he was, because I mean, he said he should play for England.
Sure.
But he's had some really good moments.
Sure. Useful. I purposely
if you want an
useful,
elbow and a cheekbone,
I don't mean,
he's your man.
He's not a great player. He's not, but he's a useful player that, you know, at his peak.
He's been a good part of some teams that really needed him.
Decent player in at a decent level in the Premier League. But, I mean, we're always going to talk about the outside stuff with him, and this is just the latest, right? I mean, there's always been
he's a baggage. He's so much baggage. There's always some, right.
Baggage.
But I wonder, and I haven't done any research into this at all, but this is obviously a ban in English football. He played in France, don't forget, right? I'm sure if he wants to play somewhere, he can.
Could you imagine Joey Barton back at Marseille?
Would love it.
Not now.
His French accent.
No, you'll end up playing in Hong Kong or India or somewhere.
If he wants to play football,
no
he'll
betting
play football
there.
Somewhere.
No. Won't be betting on games there at all. No.
But I remember... this was years ago now, though. You interviewed someone or you spoke with someone that knew him quite well, and this is at the time, I forget what it was, maybe when Barton had, I don't know.
One of his numerous bans?
No, but, yeah, was he banned for something
was it
and then he was doing television all the time?
Because he's done a lot of media.
And
yeah.
We thought, wow, like he's great, a pretty good analyst, and his opinions and the way he articulated what he wanted to get out was great. And then so you spoke with someone who said he'd be a fantastic manager, and he was getting his badges and that. Do you remember that?
He was getting his badges. I think it may have been him saying that though.
It might have been him. Thought you'd said it was someone else that vouched.
I think
though,
you know what? Now you mentioned it, I think really smart. You know what? I know who it was now. Yeah. You're right.
QPR, wasn't it? Canadian guy?
He actually took... No, it wasn't... No, I won't say who it was. It was a coach from England. Not a Premier League coach, but a guy in the FA. And he was saying that he knows the game so well. I think the guy I spoke to taught some of the courses that he was in.
Right.
And said, you know, this guy would actually make a very good manager. I think that's what it was.
Mm.
Sounds about right. Anyway, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, but... I don't think an English club's going to touch him with a barge pole right now.
Yeah.
Maybe Sheffield United. They might touch
him. Yeah, maybe. They like controversy.
100 points there for you boys, eh?
100 points.
Wow.
What a season.
Bat in a century.
We started with one in the first four matches. It's an unbelievable run. Yeah, I'm really actually excited for the new season. It's going to be great.
You're going to
be playing Villa. I'm going to be having lots of... hopefully lots of games on BN. Actually get to watch. How many games you get on TV this year? Five, six?
I cannot justify the subscription at all. To be honest, how many
we get half price.
Has been on? I still can't justify the subscription. How many Villa games did I see in this season with that? Yeah, I don't think it was five.
No.
Four or five, maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes... You know, there's only literally a game a week.
It's so sporadic.
Right?
It's when there isn't a Premier League game against it.
There's no TV. Most people watch matches on Periscope because you got some diehard who's got an unlimited data package sent in the South End that just streams.
Unlimited battery. God, my battery would be
no, data.
So good.
I said data.
Yeah,
package.
Data.
Oh,
and
yeah,
battery.
Yeah. But it's been tough, man. So going down to the championship, if you could win every match, great. But I can't see it. So. If you're living on this side of the pond, it's great if you're local. If you get relegated,
fair enough,
you win all the time.
Okay, that's a good
point. You got a ticket, it's great.
Cheaper
but if
tickets,
you live somewhere else,
not so
it's
much.
Awful.
Yeah.
The
not
best
so
place in the world to be a fan of the Premier League, the Americas and the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You could see everything for the most part. It's on demand.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't wake up for the Derby. I can pull it up right away on demand on the Sportsnet World app. You know, it's great.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's why I don't understand when you get these hipster fans picking these really weird teams. You know, like, if you're going to pick a team you can watch every single week here in North America. You know? I'm going to pick Wigan.
Who are going down
like,
to League
One. Like, shut up. No, don't pick Wigan. Pick a team that you're going to watch.
Speaking of these hipster fans, have you been getting any more shouts for your Queen West accent?
No, that was just the one time. Still didn't. I replied to the guy. He still didn't think about to me, explain to me what a Queen West accent was.
Maybe it was... Do you think he got auto-corrected? Do you think he was trying to say, like, maybe about your Queen's English or something?
No.
And it auto-corrected, like, Queen's
West? Who knows?
What do you think?
Maybe, perhaps.
You know, or Queen's Park? Maybe he thought you were too BBC for us?
I'm anything but BBC. Come on, Jesus.
What part of Australia are you from?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I don't know. No. Some guy had a go at me this week. Actually, a regular tweeter. He's a good guy, actually. But I mentioned the whole Joey Barton thing and the stupidity, and he mentioned... You know, would you say that if it's a different kind of addiction? And I said, well, actually, I was referring to the fact that he uses name.
Yeah.
You know, not the fact that he just bet. But regardless, it's okay. The guy that tweeted, generally speaking, has some good points, and he can definitely take me on. No, I won't. No, he's a good guy. All right, to the other end of the table. Oh, my. Oh, the drama. The drop points. Now, this is being taped just before Liverpool draw Watford 1-1. Right?
Take it away,
should mention
today.
That.
I forgot that was today, actually.
2-0.
I get that.
Watford have been on
they had better bloody win. That's the stands right now. So here it is, right? So Chelsea, first place, 4 points up in Spurs. We'll get to the North London derby later, I promise. Liverpool, 66 points, tied now at Man City. And United's a point back. All those teams on 34 points. Goal differential edge is Liverpool with goals scored because they're tied with City on 28. United's two back on 26 goal differential. Man, it is going to go down to the wire. City and United just blew some enormous opportunities this past weekend with their results. United drew Swansea 1-1 and Borough and Man City tied 2-2, of course. And if not for two pretty blatant dives in those games, they may have been far worse than they actually were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a tough weekend for referees and just for the game in general. I mean, the Rashford was...
That was horrendous.
Probably the
worst. Worse than Sunday's, wasn't
it? That was the worst of the bunch for me was Rashford. Sané's, I mean, he went in to draw the contact, and I could see why the referee thought it was a penalty at the time. I mean, we're lucky to have tons of replays after, and you know, the ball was gone the other way, and then he went into it. So that was the second worst for me. I don't know. I saw people making a bit of a deal of the Kane one. I thought
that's
one
a penalty.
Was fine. That was a penalty.
Yeah,
Kane
I had
was
no
a penalty?
Problem
I think
with
so.
That
yeah.
one. But the Rashford, and I mean, I was KJ was making the point actually on the weekend just how there has to be help for these refs and how big these decisions are and how much they could cost teams. And obviously Sunderland, you know, aggrieved, and even if they won that game with their run in, probably not going to be able to stay up anyways. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can look at those and just how much that costs a team, and Swansea, how that could, you know, put them into the championship as well, potentially those 2 points, that difference. Who knows what happens in that game? But there has to be more than just that split second decision for the ref who can't potentially see the angle. I mean, they have to be able to talk to the other refs. I thought it was a great point. And I mean,
but diving that's so difficult, though. I mean, Rashford, that's clearly a dive. The Sané, I mean, you can make the case he's trying to avoid contact injury. Yeah. You know, that's the problem with diving and going back to video replay. It is not a perfect science. In some cases, it is. But in most cases, like, man, well, just because a guy leaves his feet before contact doesn't mean he's actually diving necessarily. You know, a guy could be coming in with 2 feet. Oh, man, I'm going to get out of the way. And he's airborne. Oh, penalty.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of cynicism in there as well in a lot of cases, but it's not as cut and dry as that. A lot of these video replays and penalty incidents don't really achieve that much.
Yeah, I don't even mean video replay. I just mean that, you know, having the ability to talk to the linesman.
Like if the fourth official was watching a monitor.
Or having somebody behind the net and looking specifically for that stuff and radioing and telling them that they don't have to decide right away on the spot and point to the penalty spot and having 5 seconds, you know what I mean? To you can blow the whistle and then you decide, right? It doesn't have to be instant to at least make it a little bit easier, because every week we see something controversial, and you know, this week stood out blatantly that there was a couple of absolutely massive ones. So what if, I don't know, it's
Dobby just got me thinking, obviously this is a debate that could go on forever, but what if it was as simple as that? What if that you had a, let's say, a fifth official, the fourth official has enough duties, right? But what if there's someone next to him who, instead of watching the pitch, is actually watching
a monitor?
Yeah. And it's not the television broadcast. It's not multi-switch cameras. It's just one camera, let's say, which is another set of eyes from a higher vantage point, obviously. And he could have a five-second quick conversation with the with the referee on the pitch.
Like,
and you're still making decisions within 5 seconds.
Yeah,
but it's also not that meticulous. Overworked, over, you know.
Give the fourth official some real responsibility, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Just stands
out
all the time holding
a board.
Yeah. Right?
No,
really?
I mean, why not?
He's keeping managers away from each other. He's stopping
a central war room in London where they're looking at it.
Because time, then there's way too much that you're going
but
different angles.
It should be instant. I mean, you have somebody watching each game and they're in contact with the referee.
Yeah, but how instant is it in hockey? We see them go back and forth, roll the tape back.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys are 80 sitting up there like, I didn't see it, play it again. And you're switching
the
monitors.
The hockey ones this year were ridiculous.
You know how
there's
we'd fix football?
Ones.
You just put cameras along the blue line. You'll catch every single offside. Yeah. Just keep the cleats on the pitch.
I'm so torn, too, because one part of me is just like, well, I like the human error, but like when it becomes this.
Is that how
I
you know. Talk to yourself?
The thing is, as technology improves with the TV as it is, with the cameras being available, you know, you have to, I think, move with the times from the officials to absolutely. If you have the technology, use it.
It's too important. There's too much money
robots,
at stake.
Sure,
there's,
robot referees.
There's too much at stake
robot
on
strike
these
zone.
Decisions.
I think I figured it out. I mean, I'm bringing everything to this podcast every time we get in this room, but I just figured it out right there. Fifth official, and he's just watching a monitor.
Yep, why
next
not?
To the fourth
I'd
official.
Be fine with that. I'd be fine with that. But where do you draw the line, though? What do you... Offsides?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... It does become a bit of a snowball
effect.
Yeah,
because, I mean, offsides, I mean, there's a little bit of discretionary opinion there as well, right? I mean, if it's like a hair, I think give it to the attacking
player. What the hell
player.
Would we talk about if every call was made right? I mean, it makes for the fodder on the Monday and the next day, right? It's just...
Wait, I've got it. You know what? You give the referee 15 seconds, he pulls out his mobile, and he...
Checks
Twitter
and
based
sees
on
the
that,
Twitter polls.
He does a
there
poll.
You
was
go.
It a penalty?
Yeah.
Yes, no.
That's a great
and
idea.
Somehow you can't vote if you're a fan of the team. You know, there's like, we'll get there eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter poll.
We'll have like a jury at every game
by 2056,
in the basement, right?
It'll just be a Twitter poll at Premier League. was that a penalty? Yes, no. And anybody that's a fan of that club, there's somehow there's a chip in each person and will know, and they can't vote. You're pre-decided.
It's already, I think, can't lie. 2056, so it will just be a glowing mass of rubble anyway. So well, I don't really think there'll be
really,
too
I
many
mean,
concerns about so, the football.
No, we'll still be concerned about it, though. We'll be playing on top of that rubble. The people have survived. With
newspapers bound in string
yeah,
playing together.
One amoebo will be kicking the ball and Twitter polling. Yeah.
And somehow Ibra is still playing.
Somehow there's life growing again.
I hope still that playing. This isn't the end of
Ronaldo's
Ibra,
on the floor whining.
Yeah, Ibra, let's talk some Ibra. Why not?
You know, I really hope this isn't the end.
I have thoroughly enjoyed his season in English football.
So have I.
And I'm with you.
Yeah, those, you know, Ibrahimovic and Rojo warm-up jackets, just for their fallen.
Can we cover this?
Come on.
Can we stop with this madness?
If you're like in the jungle trekking.
Oh, poor Ibra. He's just.
If you were trekking in the jungle for the last month, right? And you came back and saw that. Oh, my God. What happened? Was there a car crash?
You think he was dead?
Are they both dead?
Yeah. Oh.
Jesus.
It's like, it's taken on a life of its own. I mean, with Neymar at the World Cup, I was like, okay, he's shattered. I mean, he is on home soil. That was a bad injury.
Right.
But since then, some of the things I'm seeing, like, come on.
That was stupid.
Luke Shaw's thinking, what the hell, man? What about me? You saw my leg bend and snap.
Ibrahimovic.
Jimmy Bond shirts at Burnley, really. Really, they should be.
Ibra's going to be okay, guys. He will be okay.
He's going to be still a young man.
He's going to miss the Europa League semis against Celta Vigo. How is he going to get on from this? His career, that was his defining moment.
And poor Marcus Rojo, too, is thinking, what about me?
Everyone. There was some for him, too.
No, there were shirts, but I mean, the discussions, no one's mentioning Rojo and his terrible injury.
They did a Twitter poll and said, how many, you're only going to wear two shirts, who should it be? And they vote based on votes.
It's a Twitter poll again, wasn't it? I love the Twitter polls.
You got me thinking that how many bets were placed in honor of Joey Barton this week, you think?
A lot, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably not.
Thousands.
How long will Joey Barton be fined before the fine came out?
But yeah, back to Ibra. Yeah, I'm with you. Whether he plays in England again or comes over here, just play somewhere.
Yeah.
Because he's so good for the game.
I thought it was done with the Galaxy. And there was in that picture.
No, the other one, isn't it? LAFC.
We wonder about the contract situation, right? Because United wanted to re-sign him. And was that contract on the table waiting to be signed? Was it one of those slowly put the hand and remove it very slowly from the table?
Yeah. Wasn't it an option? Did he not sign it?
I don't know. It's all confusing. Yeah, whether there was an option. There may be not, but it may be in the club option.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Don't know. But regardless, he's done now. And you think about United right now. I mentioned they're still actually a lot closer to the top four than I thought they might be a month ago.
And the Europa League is that route, right?
Europa League.
They're the favorites to win the Europa League, you would think. And
but all the injuries,
semis. Yeah.
So many injuries.
I mean, that path, that obviously muddles things. And I just to kind of, because I feel like we get questions all the time. So I just read up on it this weekend to make sure I kind of knew the layout of it. So how it works with that is if Man United win the Europa League, they're obviously in the Champions League. That doesn't mean that fifth place gets in to the Champions League for next season in England if United finish in the top four. So there can be five spots. So if Man United finishes fifth,
and
say it goes Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool, Man City as it is right now, and United win the Europa League, then all five of them get in the Champions League.
Right.
But if United finish fourth and win the Europa League, it doesn't mean that fifth place gets in the Champions League.
No, that changed.
As well.
Okay? That changed.
So that's how it goes. Because I feel like we get questions on that all the time.
Now, can you break down the Europa League rules, please?
No, I can't do that because I don't care. Until the semifinals, that tournament doesn't matter. Honestly, this
is probably
doesn't matter
now,
though. Who's Ajax playing?
Semifinals now.
Lyon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Ajax United.
I know, because I was in Lyon for about 5 days of summer. It was beautiful. I loved it.
I hear it's a great, it's a really
lovely.
Nice place.
I didn't go to that stadium, but that was probably my favorite spot on the trip in the 2 weeks in France was Lyon.
Did you have a match at Saint-Étienne?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is about 40 minutes away by train, and they're big rivals,
Whose year is more disappointing, United or City?
City.
Or does it all depend on who finishes in the top four?
I think it has to be City as well. And I mean, obviously, it does really depend. If one gets in the Champions League and the other doesn't, then I think that changes. But say they both do, which I kind of think they both will, one way or another, I think that it's got to be City. I mean, they were
in the Champions League semifinal.
They were the favorites to win the title. They were the favorites.
After that start of the season, 10 games they won off the top, right? In all competitions.
No, everyone was giving them the title in September.
They were in the Champions League semifinal this time last year.
Yeah.
They got Pep Guardiola. The expectation was you're at least matching that, and now you're the favorite in that scenario, regardless of your opponent.
This is an Arsenal-type season. They're going to finish fourth with no trophies.
Yeah, it really is. I mean,
the good thing for them is that their run-in is incredibly straightforward. They have three matches at home, and their away match, I believe, is... I'm going to look at it right now. Their away match is Watford the final day.
I thought it was Watford.
They got Palace, Leicester, West Brom at home the next three, and then they're at Watford. So they should really win all four. So I'm locking them into the top four. They have a spot. They'll be fine, but that's still incredibly disappointing the way they started. Defensively, yeah, they're just a mess.
Well, lots of people asking us to play Stay Goey.
We could do it.
Let's do it now.
Yeah.
Now?
Who knows? We may not be back here before next season.
Won't. We're going to be back.
And there's other Stay Goeys. There's Arsenal to do still. Lots of Stay Goeys.
All right.
You know?
We've got to be quick.
All right. We'll be quick.
We've got to talk about
North London. I know you've got another
Derby.
Show to do
no,
as well.
No, North London Derby.
Quickly, Stay Goey, City. Okay, Gael Clichy.
Show,
I know.
Gael Clichy.
Go.
Yeah, go.
All right. Kolarov.
Stay. Go as well.
I think he'll stay. I think he's
good role player.
Role player.
He's been around
for long enough. Yeah.
Viz and Company.
Go.
Let him
it's
go.
It's time.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah.
Enjoy
time. You're not going to get a full season out of him. I mean, he could have the John Terry role and sit on the bench and be a mascot if they want, but...
Otamendi.
Go.
I think he's going to stay.
Lost, though, right?
I think he's going to stay.
I think they have to overhaul that defense.
I do as well, but I don't think that you can replace him
he's
that quick.
Terrible.
I agree.
Terrible.
But he's still, you know, he's still one of those, like, how many Champions League quality players are you going to keep in that side? You can argue he's not very good.
He's shocking. He's been one of the worst players of the season for me.
He'll go back to Spain and he'll be great again.
Yeah.
He's one of those players, right?
Villarreal. Horrendous.
Sanya. Same as Clichy, right? Gone?
Go, I think, yeah. He's older, 34,
I could
five?
See him staying.
He's 34, good point, yeah.
I could see him staying.
Yeah. John Stones will stay, obviously, even though it's been a very inconsistent first season.
Yeah, no, he's going
to
be there.
Zabaleta, probably time to move on, I think.
Yeah, it should maybe.
He's going to play this weekend, but...
I think they're going to be there for life, to be honest.
De Bruyne is staying. Fabian Delph, he's playing a bit more recently.
Playing
but
a bit more.
Nah, he's...
You're not going to get anything
for him. He's 27?
Move on.
That's it.
Wow.
You're not going to get anything for him. So, I mean, I think that he'll be there.
Yeah.
What kind of role he plays, who knows.
Gundogan staying. He's Pep's boy. Obviously, injury-ravaged season.
More for him. Didn't
he start it this season?
He's had a really bad...
2 years. 3 years.
Couple years of...
It's been 3 years.
I'm reading, finished reading Pep Confidential, legs. Right? When he's at Bayern and he brings in Gundogan, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? He was,
no.
Right?
No.
Who am I thinking of?
Lewandowski?
No.
Royce?
It's gone now.
No.
Alcantara.
Oh, okay.
Alcantara, wasn't it?
Thiago Alcantara, what? Because of injuries?
The same player. Like he was Pep's boy. Loved him. Crushed his career at that club with injuries. Anyway,
it's done it right now.
Jesus Navas, it's time.
It's time. He's another one that I've never quite understood.
And you can have two Jesuses in the team, can you?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not two Jesuses. You have one Jesus and one Jesus.
Right. Okay.
So you're good.
Sorry, I stand corrected.
New manager George Jesus, Jorge Jesus.
That would be amazing.
Fernandinho, they're going to stay, I think, aren't they? Ooh, Fernandinho, especially.
Who's who?
Fernandinho's.
Fernandinho means little Fernando, yet he's taller than Fernando.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. Get them both.
All right,
out.
So we both of them. Can't get them both out.
I'm just on a tangent. Okay. Go through it.
All right, Sané's staying. David Silva has got to stay, right? He's still a class above most players in the league when he's healthy.
He's going to stay until he gets loaned out to
New York City. I think most of the players from after the back line you're going to see stay.
I think
he's gone.
If Vincent Kompany's gone, Yaya's got to go as well.
He's gone as well.
Nolito's probably gone, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Remember him?
He didn't do nothing, eh?
What about Kun Aguero? I'm not sure he's Pep guy still.
I would keep him. I think you're...
Well, he's world-class.
You have a hard time justifying...
Wherever he goes, he's going to score you 100,000 goals.
You have a really
but
hard
is
time
Pep guy?
Justifying him, letting him go. However, he's not a Pep guy.
I also think with what we saw when Jesus first came and he was starting to get the starts over Aguero before he got injured, I mean, I think that signified big time that they're ready to move in that direction. And in that system, you only need that one guy, and I think that he's going to work a lot harder and be a lot more industrious than Aguero. So
they both played this weekend.
I think
though. That's
the biggest call, obviously, in that whole stay going in that squad is what they do with Aguero, and I think he could go because I think that you can get £80 million for him probably and spend that on two or three other players.
Yeah, you got to spend to sell to spend a little bit, even at Man City.
They have to start balancing the books a bit.
He's gone because we're able to have the conversation, is he a Pep guy? Just the fact that we can debate that.
Sure.
And he's a Jorge Mendes guy, which means no BS. He's out. Done.
He'd be a good fit anywhere, obviously, right? If he stays in England, right?
If he stays in England,
but seriously, if Wenger stays,
but would City sell him? I mean, to
maybe
sell
not. Well,
for 100 million,
they bought enough Arsenal players in their days, right? It'd be crazy to send to a rival, but is Arsenal really a rival these days?
With Aguero, they could be.
They might be. He's just what they need, isn't he?
Exactly.
Let's be honest. Exactly what they need. Sterling staying, and Nacho. Probably going to stay. I would think
Should
he's young
stay.
Enough still.
Young.
Still not getting his chances. But
no,
and he won't.
No, but he's 20,
as long as he's
right?
There.
Anyway, there's the stay goey. We should definitely talk about now the old firm. That played this weekend as well, by the way.
5-1.
5-1. The North London derby.
Yeah.
So, you tell you what, Spurs might be the best team in England.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chelsea were incredibly impressive as well this weekend. So, I don't think that they quite get that label yet. If Chelsea hadn't been so impressive in their second half, then okay. But God, Spurs were good again.
And at the same time, Arsenal were just impotent.
Ugh, embarrassing.
They're just
pathetic.
So broken.
They really are.
If you can't get
up for this one.
Exactly.
I mean, you look at Wenger
so
and wouldn't criticize.
If you can't get up for this one, then you need to
part of the David Seaman trilogy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard Jamie Redknapp talking. He said, you know, I don't know if it was a conversation he was relaying that he'd had with somebody else when he asked, you know, look at the two sides. You can take any player. Is there anyone that you'd get? I think it was, I don't know if he said this was a conversation with Pochettino or something, but you look at the side and you might pick one. You take Sanchez at Arsenal.
Probably,
that's about it,
I think.
And then you keep everybody else.
Like, who makes your best of 11 out of the two combined teams?
Yeah.
Be a lot of
Sanchez makes it, and there's no one.
The rest
just
of
Spurs
no players, I think so. This is also I didn't realize until yesterday, the most points that they've won at home in a Premier League season.
Yeah, they haven't lost at home. 16 wins and 2 draws.
And now they're leaving home.
Going to change at Wembley next year.
Yeah.
That they found out officially that they won't be back at White Hart Lane again. Well, we knew that, but this was the last North London derby at home. I mean, at that ground, it made it that much more special, right?
Right.
And they were just... It was a great day for Spurs fans, and the fact that they could lock up that they'd be finishing higher than Arsenal on the table for the first time since '95. Like, I mean, it all
Castling
just kind of came
Tottenham's
together,
day.
Right? It was a
Saint Tottenham's day.
Yeah. It was just a perfect day for Spurs. I mean, it couldn't have gone
Tom,
much better.
I tell you what, Harry Kane, Dele Alli. The World Cup's looking pretty good next year at this moment in time, isn't it?
2018.
Oh my!
Boy!
You know what? The World Cup's going to be here before we know it.
Oh,
it's
going to
be so quick.
Absolutely.
I mean, get ready for the Confederations Cup this year. Do we have the rights to that? Probably not.
I think the World Cup hosts, broadcasters get it, don't they?
Damn it.
Yeah, I don't know. Right.
But 13
months, maybe.
13
it's
months
a test
and change
run for
away
everybody.
From the World Cup.
Yeah. And then, see, next year, it's a different experience entirely next season because the entire season, you're just like cringing and hoping people don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Dele Alli, please rest him.
Can't
don't
wait
play
for
him in these games.
The day before the tournament kicks off. We're actually convinced that England have a chance
I
to
know.
Win the tournament again.
It all changes.
It's
I see
grace,
it. Just,
yeah.
I know exactly how it's going to go.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
But I'll say
we'll
this.
Record
the
it.
Masters,
we'll tape. We'll have to
screw
re-record
the Masters,
it.
Jim Nance. A tradition like any other.
But in a year from now, Dele Alli, not only will he have maybe won the Young Player of the Year for the fourth straight year, but
why can he keep winning that? He's maybe 40.
They should change it up.
You need to have this ridiculous cap on that. Like, if you've played 100 matches, you're not eligible anymore.
Make it Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
That works.
Yeah.
It's this young player's nonsense.
It's insane.
But do you consider Dele Alli world class just yet?
No.
He's pretty damn close.
I would say he's...
I think he's very close.
Top class, but not world class.
Ooh, there's a difference, is there?
Yeah. We could debate that forever.
I mean,
it's only top
what
class.
I love is the consistency now. I mean, my worry was always that consistency, I mean, it would be in flashes and in and out. But I mean, since the new year turned, I mean, Spurs have been incredible. And I think it was just after the new year, just before that... They went to Southampton and scored 4, and they were incredible that day. And since then, I mean, it's just been a northward trajectory. And I love the fact that, you know, yesterday seeing, you know, Chelsea's drawing with about 35 minutes to go, and they're probably thinking, hey, they're starting to believe. And that would have been deflating for them. They would have known the result. And I kind of was thinking, if they come out here, this could, you know, against Arsenal, who's you'd think would be fired up. They could lay an egg here, and that it could be completely over. But the fact they won that, I want them to push it right until the end.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
It's going to be tough with Chelsea having four very winnable matches as well.
Definitely.
To take it to the final weekend. But if Spurs can win out and finish the season with, what would that be, 13 straight? They have nine now?
Yeah.
If they could finish with 13 straight and push it as far as they can, I mean, imagine the good feeling around that club, despite not winning anything going into next season. I mean, this is an incredible...
They're the Leafs.
...trajectory. I expect them to regress a bit this year.
Maybe because they're a young team. Youngest,
the
maybe they are,
together.
They're the young team, right?
And they don't have to change much, and they're not going to go out and spend a ton of money.
They finally got it right. It's taken years. Yeah. They've always been that cusp of being that breakthrough team, right? And they spent lots of money in the past and misspent money.
I worry about how Wembley's going to... What's going to happen.
They've been really poor this year when they played there.
They've been really bad there.
And when they get drawn in the group of death...
Wow, they can't figure out the Champions League either. So next year's going to be fascinating for them because all of a sudden the expectations are going to be huge. If you finish second this year, which I'm almost certain they're going to.
You know, it's funny with them, right? Because they're that team that we've been excited about for a couple of years now. We want to see them challenge for the title just to make it interesting, regardless of whether you'd actually want to see them win or not. But the Champions League is such a distraction because they can't figure it out. It'd be better if they could just challenge for the Premier League title and not worry about the Champions League.
Do you get the impression that this year, compared to previous years, it's been a bit of a bland season as far as drama is concerned? Chelsea have been, obviously, they've been great teams, Chelsea and Spurs, you know, but hasn't been that much drama. Chelsea pulled away. The relegation race hasn't been that exciting. Two are down pretty much now already.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a bit of a race there to the end, but how much drama is there going to be, really? Top four could be interesting, of course, but overall... I don't know. Maybe it's just because last year was so spectacular.
And this
has been a bit more predictable.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the word to
use. Even though we can be surprised by Arsenal.
I mean, Pep brought something. Ibra brought... There's been great storylines. I've enjoyed it, but it's lacked something.
I think Arsenal have probably been the story of the season just with the chaos there and, you know, what's going to happen there.
They've won one of their 11 games against teams above them.
Oh, their record away from home in the last 5 years against top... five clubs is pitiful.
We've discussed Wenger so much in this podcast, and we shall do it again. You know, right now it looks as if he's going to sign a new contract,
which is shocking, isn't it?
Yes, is it shocking? I'm sort of shocking, but I'm not sure it's the best thing for the club.
No, I agree. They get in the top four. I can't see any way they get the Champions League
after this weekend.
After this, and with their run in,
six points back, and I mean they've got a game in hand.
They got a really tough run in though as well.
Yeah,
I mean they don't have any straightforward ones in the next few anyways. I'm going to look at it right now. They got Man United at home next weekend. Then they're at Southampton midweek. Never easy. At Stoke. That's the typical not easy for Arsenal game.
Yeah.
Then they're home for two to end the season. Sunderland, okay, 3 points. Everton should be. But by the time they play those next three, as soon as they drop points in two of them, they're finished for the top four. And
then they got the FA Cup final
to end the league season in England to try to wallpaper it over and win another trophy.
When is the FA Cup final?
May 27th, the Saturday before the Champions League final.
And did they move the Europa League as well, I think.
I've got no idea when
I think it's
League
the maybe the Wednesday
May 30th
before that,
or something,
that Saturday.
So the Premier League season ends Sunday, May 21st. FA Cup final, Saturday, May 27th.
The next Saturday.
And then the Champions League final is Saturday, June 3rd.
Yeah. It's too late. Way too
late.
No, it's too late.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Champions League semifinals this week. Off we go.
Yeah, Atletico Real, quickly. Who's going to take that one now? Bear in mind, they've met the last three tournaments.
It's crazy.
Two finals in that, of course. And
I'm glad they're meeting at the semifinal stage this time, so we don't have to have another final like that where the teams know each other
it's
been a bit bland, right?
Yeah.
It's just kind of...
And it's like tight till the 90th, and then Real score eight goals in extra time.
I think Atletico might get by in this time.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think Real.
My gut tells me that too.
Yeah.
For some reason, this is the year, and it could be Simeone's last year at Atletico.
And I like them over two legs more than in the one-off.
No Bale.
I think this could be Atletico's last year challenging this far as well.
They lose Griezmann this offseason, probably.
It's just when you're a team like that to continue to be at this level. I mean, we've seen Southampton replenish. We've seen stories. Atletico keep doing it. But they've been doing it since Forlan before, right?
Yeah.
It's
been amazing.
They started off through
the Europa League. Remember that? Yeah. They started doing really well in the Europa League. And then they kind of grew and grew, right? It's been a fantastic story.
Yeah. Their promotion to the Champions League elite has been...
Yeah, and they're very much elite. Oh, I think it's a moot point, though, really, who wins that game, because Juve is going to win the whole thing this year.
No.
Yep.
Juve is going to have a tough time with Monaco.
Monaco's great, don't get me wrong, but I think Juve, they're battle-hardened. They've been through it. They've had their defeats. They've learned. And yeah. I just love the look of that team.
I tend to agree with you. I made a bet with my brother, Junes, there that I said one of the underdogs will get through in the semifinals, because we were down in Cuba during the draw, and he said, oh, Real Juve for sure in the final. So I bet him $50 that one of the underdogs would get through Atletico or Monaco.
So you better hope so.
Yeah. I think that's a
Joey
fair
Barton
bet
over there, right?
It's a fair bet, even bet. Yeah, yeah. It all comes full circle today,
doesn't it? It does,
Joey
yeah.
Barton betting, yeah.
Anything else you want to get to? It's been quite a long podcast.
I'm talking about the Jays being terrible already, so it's
still early.
It's pretty killer right now.
Anthony Joshua knocked out Vladimir Klitschko in front of 80,000 or 90,000 at Wembley.
And now he's probably going to fight again because I hate that part of the contract. You know, straight away fight again. Like, just let's spread it. Just destroy Tyson Fury. Kill Tyson Fury. I don't mean kill him. Just beat him because he's just grotesque. Yeah. And then you can fight Klitschko again.
Maybe if they fight again, people will talk about it. I feel like no one spoke about that fight. It also wasn't on in this country, I believe.
I know, seriously.
There was no real pay-per-view or something like that.
Apparently it was on after that night on tape delay.
Oh, really?
It became available.
But it's the first heavyweight tilt with I've been really interested in for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. You know?
But there's something about, I mean, there really is something about European fights in the middle of the day that people just don't get up for, and these are fighters not a lot of people know. And
I'd pay to see Mayweather McGregor, by the way, wouldn't you? I just feel curiosity. It'd be amazing. I think Mayweather would kill him personally.
Yeah,
again,
I think
not
so
killing
too.
People.
I
don't take
so
it seriously.
Too.
But I think Mayweather in boxing.
Although last time I paid $100 for the fight was Mayweather Pacquiao.
Me too.
But you just
me
do
too.
It with a group of people.
It's terrible.
I mean, my brother had a keg and we had like 20 people. So it's nothing, right? It's worth it. It's just the event, right?
It's fun. I love. But yeah, McGregor Mayweather, I would pay to watch.
Big
and.
Time. Well, I have a bits and bobs.
Yeah.
I bought a car, boys. What?
You've grown up.
33 years old. And I finally have a vehicle.
What do you have?
I've never really needed it, but
congratulations.
Brand new Hyundai Elantra.
Brand new. Hyundai is a fantastic
space black.
Man.
It's beautiful.
Space
nice.
Black. That's what it's called?
Yeah. Her
what
friend
is space black?
I don't know. It's just.
It's like really black.
Her friend works at a dealership. So we went out to Hamilton
Boom.
The weekend.
I've owned Hyundai's before. They're great cars.
Beautiful. Very excited. Sirius radio, everything. Yeah, it's.
You're cruising down Yonge Street, eh? Windows down, cranking some rubber shirt music. I can see it now.
It's good times.
The old days when I used to work for Sirius and loved the brand, and then I got Sirius and realized you can't get the Champions League in North America, so what is the point? Although, believe it or not, the country music station, top class on Sirius.
Yeah, true story. Just be on the BPM and electric area and stuff anyway.
You like country music now?
I wouldn't say like it, but didn't we not discuss that I like come around to accepting it as not being
no,
as horrible
we
as
discussed
I once thought
it was? I'm stunned by
the
that.
The best thing I did in all of 2016, I got engaged. The second best thing I did in 2016 was the Florida Georgia Line concert I went to at the Molson Amphitheater.
The what?
It was amazing.
Really?
Florida Georgia Line?
Sounds horrendous.
Cruising? Nelly?
Sounds horrible.
Come on.
No, I think I'd rather gouge my ears out with a blunt spoon.
They're playing the Hamilton on Wednesday. What do I do? Do I go to TFC or do I go to Hamilton and see Florida Georgia Line?
You tell us. What
It'll
do you
be raining again Wednesday for
follow
TFC.
The Twitter.
Yeah. Raining every
God,
single
will,
time TFC
it?
Plays. Yeah.
Yeah. And every time I don't go, I didn't go this Friday. I was working.
And it was nice.
Great games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Another brace
scored
from Josie.
A couple nice goals, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't talk enough MLS on this program.
We don't. Well, we are what we are.
We will when we
leave
do
it for Thursday
this summer.
Thursday we talk about MLS with
Steven Sandor on the phone. What's going on, MLS?
We barely mentioned Chelsea today. We don't have time for TFC. Jeez.
Yeah.
Pedro's goal. Woof.
Oh, goal. What a belter.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Yeah. So we're out of time. I don't know, next week, possibly, maybe not, don't know.
I mean, there's only a few weeks left in the season. We should really aim to...
My mate...
Sherman's so overwhelmed as
you know,
he ends this show. He's wringing his face.
Wringing his face.
He looks so exhausted.
Well, his neck still hurts from... he put his neck out this morning.
It's killing me.
Drying his
hair. My hair. It's just killing me.
This is 43.
See,
people are listening to this.
I had this at 40. Trust me, this neck.
People are listening thinking that you're lying and that this must be something that I did.
No.
I would hurt myself
drying
my
hair.
He was
just tousling his hair.
My mate sent me a text about our podcast scheduling issues. What did he say? Where is it?
Saying this was
your mate Lance, the
all?
Producer here that has us in this closet today?
No. I can't find it now.
Just saying
my mate
this
Nigel
recorded at all.
Basically, he's a smart guy. He can't for the life of him figure out when we're on.
Nor can we.
Just subscribe to us.
Yeah.
And then it'll pop up. A little surprise for you every occasional Monday. Oh, look. Matt can kill off 45 minutes. All right. I think we covered it all. We good to go?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, Lance, thank you very much. Behind the glass, over there somewhere. I'll be back with Molinaro on Thursday. And this weekend, join us on Sportsnet for the Prem. Some big games. The run-in is very much upon us. And despite what I said about the year not being quite as intriguing as previous years, please still watch, like I implore you, please.